So glad somebody is excited to hear the Word of God this morning. So guy's sitting in a restaurant enjoying a meal, and the waiter says to him, So how did you find your steak, sir? He says, oh, easy, it was right next to the potatoes. Also guy having a meal calls the waiter, waiter, come here. Tell me, what is this fly doing in my soup? My husband says, so I think it looks like backstroke. I can come up with a few more meal jokes and jokes about food, but what can I say? Guess what we're going to be speaking about this morning? It's that time of the year where lots of churches all over the world to set the pace for the year, get God's heart for the year, speak about prayer and fasting. No, as somebody said, nobody's excited about that. It's a challenging time. Yes, it's challenging. I'm going to speak. We're going to take a break from our series on Revelation, and I'm going to speak about prayer and fasting. We're just going to do a little bit of a teaching on what it's about, and then just discuss the prayer topics that I believe the Lord has laid on our hearts as a church for what we're going to pray and fast about. I just want to ask this morning, just not to embarrass anybody, just to get a feel of where we're at this morning. Is there anybody that has never, ever fasted? And when I say fasted, I mean where you stop, or you, there's one of those selfie boxes on the side of the road and it sends you a performance award in the street, a performance award because if you're speeding in the street, or the law enforcement officer stops you because you've been speeding. Not that kind of fast, but where you fasted, you've abstained from food, and you've prayed in that time. Is there anybody here that has never, ever, ever fasted like that? Can I get to see? Okay, so it's approximately maybe just more than a third of the people that have never fasted, eh? Never fasted. Can I see a show of hands again? That's never. Okay, excellent. Great stuff. Okay, good. I want to encourage you and work with the Holy Spirit this morning to say this to you, that when you do this, folks, your life is never going to be the same again. Things are going to radically change for you. This is a profound principle in our Christian walk, and it must be something that becomes part of our daily lives and not just something that we do once a year or because an oak with a microphone says we're going to proclaim a fast. But that's what we're going to do as a congregation. We are going to proclaim a fast. I want to sow some seeds in your life this morning and ask you this question. I wonder, can you imagine what it would have been like if Adam and Eve exercised control over their appetite in the Garden of Eden? You think the world would have looked a little bit differently? I wonder, is it fair to say that it's because of a lack of control of appetite that mankind fell? Think about that. A simple thing like, I want a piece of that fruit salad. I'm going to have me some fruit of that tree. And Adam, when he was supposed to protect and be the leader and intercede for his wife, she says, yeah, Leafy, come have a stick. And he's like, sure. It's interesting, the scripture says, this is not a woman's lib movement thing or a sexist thing. The scripture says that Eve was deceived, not Adam. But said it for once, Mana, that he knew exactly what was happening. His wife was tricked, but he knew exactly what was happening. And for years we joked and said, yeah, look at old Adam. Adam just shifted the blame when God asks him, and no? He says, no, Lord, the woman you sent me, she tempted me. Eve done exactly the same thing. What did Eve do? She said, the serpent did it. What does it say about human nature? But you know, we shift the blame. It was my parents. It was my government. The government, it was the school. It was the police. It was the circumstances. Or shifting the blame. He said, I'm owning up to the own mess in my life. So appetite plays a significant role in our lives. Isn't it interesting that they were tempted by the serpent, by the snake, isn't it? Have you taken note of what the shape of our intestines are like? I'm just saying. So could it be said that the fall of mankind was as a result of an appetite that was out of control? Think about that a little bit. quickly, as human beings, we have four kinds of appetites. Who's listened? I want to see who's listened to sermons in the past before. What are the four kinds of appetites that human beings have? We have an appetite for food. Very good. The appetite for sex. Yes. Well done, gents and ladies. Come on, man. God made sex good within the confines of marriage. Don't tell me otherwise. If it's not, come see me afterwards. We'll give you pictures and help you. We have an appetite for? Appetite for material things and an appetite for? There you go. We have an appetite for material things, an appetite for spiritual things. Everybody's spirit seeks to worship something. Even atheists worship the idea that there is no God. Okay? We have a sexual appetite and we have an appetite for food. It has been documented many, many times over, the most strongest appetite of all of those is the appetite for food. Picture a guy in a desert. Okay, I mean, he's like really, really, really hasn't had food for a long, long time. He's not interested in his bikes at home, his cars at home, or his favorite position. He's not interested in women. He's not interested in praying or worshiping something or someone. All the devil, he just wants to eat. He just wants to eat. Once he's eaten, well then, we can look at a few other things. Now that they vreedsaam gekuier het, nee. So our strongest appetite is our appetite for food. And when our appetite for food is under control and guidance of the Lord, all our other three appetites fall in line and in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Now throughout the Bible, every third time there's a teaching on prayer, there's a teaching on fasting. Just you can see it. Teaching on prayer, teaching on prayer, teaching on prayer, teaching on fasting. So it's part and parcel of our Christian walk. So it proves that Christians, fasting should be an essential part of our lives, not just something that we do from time to time. In sharing about his struggles, the Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21. He speaks about the challenges that he's gone through in his trials. And he says, in weariness and in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst. So he speaks about hunger and thirst. And then he says, in fastings, everybody say fastings, plural, nee, it's meervoud, often. He was in fastings often, not just hunger and thirst. That's different. Fastings. Fast speaks about a specific purpose and a definite goal and direction in which we're going, and he says, in cold and in darkness. So, fasting also is like, you know what, I'm not getting an answer to this prayer. I'm going to fast, and what that means is I'm going to like twist God's arm into giving me what I want. God says, okay, like, you're really putting in a good effort now. I'm going to give you what you want. That's not what fasting is about. All right? The purest and holiest essence of fasting is to restore intimate fellowship and communion with God. It's not about getting prayers answered. Prayers do get answered in that time. But the purpose of fasting is to have restored intimate fellowship with God. That must be its primary focus. So before we even get into the topics of what God has laid in our hearts for this year, folks, get this. This is about me just connecting with God again at a deeper, more intimate level than I have been doing so in a while. Fasting also humbles ourselves. Helps us to humble ourselves. The most effective way that God has given us to humble ourselves is by fasting. Why do you think that is? You see, what is the primary source of pride in our lives? The things that our flesh wants, the sinful nature of the flesh. And the most effective way to overcome those things and have lasting victory in our lives is to humble the flesh. It's not about abstinence from food. It's about humbling the flesh. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. It's so awesome that that's the process. People, we can't bypass the first part of that scripture. saying, okay, God's going to lift you up. He's not going to lift you up until such time that you've humbled yourself. Please don't ever pray, Lord, make us humble. Don't do that. You don't want God to humble you. It's a responsibility and a choice that He gives us for us to humble ourselves. It's for us to humble ourselves. You don't want God to humble you. If you're at the point where God has to humble you, yes, any moeilikheid julle. Ons is in die moeilikheid dan. So we have that choice and that freedom, that privilege to humble ourselves. And the most effective way we can do that is through fasting. Fasting enables us to align our souls and our spirit with God's soul and spirit. Quickly, what's the differentiation? Soul, spirit, don't they both go to heaven? Scripturally speaking, the description that I'm going to give you is the most accurate scripturally, according to what's described in the Bible. Your spirit is the seat of your will and your intellect, the part of you that knows, and your will. That's your spirit. That's the part of us that gets born again. Your soul is the seat of your appetites, your desires, your emotions, and your passions. That's the playing ground and the battleground of the devil, your soul, in the soulish realm. It's our eye gate, our ear gate, smell, taste, touch. It's that where the battle takes place. So we align our spirits and our souls with God's spirit and God's soul. Does God have a soul? Yes, He does. God experiences grief. God experiences joy, etc. Okay. Biblical fasting sensitizes us or makes us more aware of what God is saying. God is speaking. So mense sê, well, ek hoor nie van God nie. Dit beteken nie dat God nie praat nie. It means that we perhaps not tuned in enough to be able to hear and to perceive and to understand what God is saying. Is that okay? We know that God speaks in several ways to us. Hopefully by the grace of God, I'll be able to remember them this morning. But God speaks in several ways, and He always uses at least two. God speaks through His written word. God speaks through the prompting and unction of the Holy Spirit, the still small voice of the Spirit in us. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through dreams. God speaks through visions. God speaks through angels. God speaks through peace. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through nature. What not? And yeah, and then the audible voice, like, you know. And He always uses at least two. So when you pray and fast, you sensitize your being to be able to tune in to say, okay, what is the Lord saying here this morning, you know? So, like for example, a person might be thinking to themselves, you might think to yourself, you know, I just wish I could be reminded of the Lord's love. I just wish God could convince me of His love, you know. And somebody sends you a WhatsApp message, God loves you with an everlasting love. Wat het daar gebeur? Toevallig? Nee, toeval die lig van die woord van God in jou lewe. Is jy met my? Okay, dis nie toevallig nie. That's God speaking, all right? I remember years, I've shared this many times, and I'll never forget it. I wanted to hear God's voice, and I thought God would speak like that. Mozzie, this is your Father speaking. And I longed for that. Meantime, God was speaking so long and so hard, I just didn't listen. And there was only been one time where what I perceived to be God's audible voice, and I never want to experience it again. It's the most frightening thing I've ever heard. I'd just rather listen to the still small voice of the Spirit and obey God like that. Don't say you want to hear God's voice. For me, it was crazy. But anyway, biblical history shows us that fasting helped people turn back to God, so to speak. Whenever the people of Israel lost their way and the nation was wayward, the leaders said, all right, come guys, let's just humble ourselves, let's just pray and fast, and let's seek God again. And they'd hear from God, and God would give them direction all over again. So, while there's no scriptural command as to how long you should fast, all right, we do see some clear guidelines in Scripture as to the attitude of our heart during fasting. The first one I want to look at is from Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6 to 9. Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 9. Let me just choose. All right, let's just go to the NLT. Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 9, reads as follows. The preceding verses speak about how wrong ways of fasting, drawing attention to yourselves and making it a holy religious thing. And the scripture says, no, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned, verse 6 of Isaiah 58. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. These days, our phones tell us, I don't want to speak to you now. Enough of you now. You know, I made a joke with someone yesterday about relatives. They're so used to phoning for, I hope I get this right. They're so used to phoning for money, you know, they don't phone and say, hi, how you doing? They phone and say, hi, how much do you have? That's just something else. It's not like that. It's not, if family is going to watch this, I love all of you, okay, and you're next. Verse 8. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from where? Behind. The glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Isn't it interesting that the armor of God, when it speaks about the armor of God in Matthew chapter 6, no? Where's the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6 speaks about nothing protecting you from behind. God will protect you from behind. So when the enemy wants to blindside you and surprise you with an attack, God is there. But also, because we're supposed to be going. Verse 9, then when you call, the Lord will answer, yes, I'm here. And he will quickly help. Another portion of scripture that gives us scriptural guidelines as to how to fast is from Matthew chapter 6 and from verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5. There we go. Jesus teaches us how to pray. And he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they will ever get. Verse 6 of Matthew 6. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. And then he teaches us the Our Father. And then he says, drop down to verse 16, and when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable. I think a lot of Christians do that without even trying. I'm just saying that in love. Eh? I love everybody and you're next. It's like you say you're born again, you're filled with the joy of the Lord. Okay, just let your face know. Send a text to your face and let your face know. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. Wow. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, even if you have a little bit, and wash your face. That's why I brush my hair, because the scripture says that if you're faithful with little, God will entrust you with much. And then no one will notice that you're fasting, except your Father, who knows what you do in private. Ish. Is that incredible? God knows what you do in private. Isn't it incredible that we try and hide things away, like from each other and from people? God's got your address, man. He's got your GPS location. He knows exactly what you're doing. We try hide things from him. And what happens when you get embarrassed? You blush. You know? Isn't it interesting that even your conscience knows to try and cover sin with blood? Isn't it interesting? And the human being is the only living thing that has the ability and reason to blush. Only people. Animals don't do that. Okay, and that's how Jesus teaches us how to fast. And no one will notice when you're fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. So folks, apart from the physical benefits of fasting, there's spiritual benefits as well. Are we okay with that? All right. So I want to encourage you, regardless of our points that are going to come up this morning, each of us should really just pray and ask God for direction and wisdom from the Lord as to the duration of your fast and how to fast. Practically, there are several ways of fasting, and I'm going to also teach this morning on the way it was done according to the Bible. And you could go so far as to say strict biblical fasting. That doesn't mean that there's no other kind, but strict biblical fasting simply means this is the way they've done it in the Bible. So you can fast things that distract you from focusing on the Lord. Example, social media. How many of us would like to try that for a couple of days? No Facebook, no YouTube, no Twitter, no Instagram, no TikTok, no... What else is there? Help me. Why do I look at the young people? Yo, what's up? What's up, folks? No, all of... What? Mix it. Oh, yeah, mix it, Steve. Jeez, Shalane. Xbox. Games. I don't know. You know, the other day, it was last night. Mozzie, catch your wake up. Got out of the shower and everything like that. I'd eaten at 9 o'clock. And I decided, I'm just going to see. Perhaps there's a little bit more of highlights from the Dakar, which is recently finished, which I thoroughly enjoyed, by the way. 2 ure later. Ja, jylle. I was ashamed. I said, Mozzie, net so. So now I looked at videos on the internet for 2 hours. 11 o'clock. Gaan slaap ek eers. No, come on, man. No, come on, man. No, man. That's wrong, jylle. This verkeerd. Well, for me. I felt convicted. 2 hours. I was, you know, like men, we don't watch TV. We look at what else is on TV. We look at what else is on TV. I didn't feel good about myself, jylle. So you can abstain from things that's distracting you from things of the Lord. You can have like a partial fast where you fast chocolate or you fast ice cream or you fast whatever your favorite snack is, whatever. You know, Superman had kryptonite. Who can remember what kryptonite did to Superman? What did it do to Superman? It made him weak. I'm not Superman, but my kryptonite is Lay's chips. You know what my favorite Lay's chips is? The ones that are currently in my mouth. Whichever Lay's chips is in my mouth, that's my favorite. Yellow. You know what? You go to these beautiful places to shop, like, and there's nice music in the background. If it's Christmas shopping, there's Christmas music and whatever. I go down the aisle where there's chips and I hear these voices. Eat me. Eat me. Eat me. And it's the Lay's chips. Colette says, which ones must I get? I said, all of them. Just get them all. Yeah, you know, Lay's chips. Eesh. So fast, Lay's chips. So there's a partial fast that you can do. And then there's script. I nearly said chips. There's strict biblical fasting the way they used to do it in the Bible. So get direction from the Lord as to how to fast. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the topics quickly for each day. And I want to encourage you, get out your phones now. You can get out your phones and take pictures of what's going to come up. If you are fortunate enough and you should be on there, please get on the Real Life Ministry WhatsApp group. It's not a group where we're going to send you all these daily devotionals and chutters and flowerkies and blommikies and praying hands. It's a very, very quiet group. I give you my word. Get on that group and the church's announcements are on there. Failing which, just whip out your phones and take pictures of what's going to come up and ask the guys to put up the topics there quickly, and I'm going to follow, okay? So these are the prayer and fasting topics for 2024. So tomorrow, so in other words, tonight, you can vreet some, eat yourself raak, okay? Fill your pie hole tonight, and then from tomorrow morning, all right? So Monday is humility. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. And a couple of confirming scriptures there to help you just get a scriptural background for that topic. So the topic for Monday is humility. Go up to the next one, please, gents. Thank you very much, guys. Tuesday is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. All who obey His commandments will grow in wisdom. We need God's great wisdom to navigate these trying and difficult times. Topic for Wednesday is endurance. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. And then you will receive all that He has promised. Let's trust God to enable us not to give up or to throw in the towel when things get tough, as they are in our country. Thursday, we like it for Donderdag Jelle. Let's pray for the body of Christ. That's us. That's us, all right? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And this beautiful passage from Ephesians here describes the role that we must play in the body. And I've highlighted this. Make every effort. Everybody say every effort. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Why? Because the devil makes every effort to tear us apart in our relationships, to get upset with each other, offended with each other, hurt with each other, hurt each other, tired of each other, all sorts of silly little time wasters. Let's pray to make every effort to be united in the Spirit. Okay, that's for Thursday. Friday, we like it on for Vrydag Jelle. Okay, the exposure of evil. Continue to have evil being exposed. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. There's tremendous crime and corruption destroying our nation. It's like a cancer. Let's trust God to expose this at every level of society. Saturday is the holiness of God. What a sobering scripture. Work at living in peace with everyone. Yes, it's going to require work. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Yeah, but Mozzie, God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. God is a God of forgiveness. Yes, He is. But He's also a holy God. We will not see the Lord without holiness. As His church, we are called to holiness. Soos wat Kobus so regtig gesê het vanoggend. Holiness means being different. Be different from the world. In jou vriendekringe kan hulle verskil sien tussen jou en die wêreld. By die werksplek sien hulle verskil tussen jouself en die wêreld. Die grappe wat hulle vertel, die vuil, vieslike grappe, lag jy maar net so saam en net so hard. It has been said that few things reveal a man's character quite like the things at which he laughs. Phew, het is een harde preek volgende, nee, maar ons het dit nodig. Sê amen vir my asseblief julle, ons het dit nodig, ek self. Do I laugh at other people's pain and suffering? And this is Joey, I know him long enough, I know he won't take us personally. But here's a habit, some people deal with things like this. When sometimes painful, funny things happen to people, Joe laughs. He's not malicious or anything. It's just like that. Some people in panic, they just laugh. You know, you broke your leg. Jack, you got an open fracture. You know, that's different people deal with things differently. Okay. I love you, Joe. Okay. So, where were we at? There must be a clear distinction between the world and Christ's church. And then Sunday, next week when we come here, hopefully you would have combed your hair. Made your face look good. Nobody must know that you're fasting. Sunday, we're going to pray for gratitude. Dankbaarheid. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And may I never forget the good things He does for me. May God help us to always have an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. So there, folks, we've got a challenging time ahead in this week to get through the fast. I'm going to give you I'm going to recap. I'm already done 30 minutes and 20 seconds. When you hear the signal, it will be 30 minutes and 20 seconds. Beep. But just grant me a few more minutes. Is that okay, church? Please, if you're tired, just rub your boat a bit or bump your neighbor and say, hang in there, but hang in there, sis. I can no klaar maak. Okay. Just a practical recap. What do you do? Like, somebody phones you. You haven't heard from them in a long time. A good, long lost friend or family member say, hey guys, we're having a spit braai. Delicious, minted, seasoned, herbed up lamb on a spit. Come and join us. No, I'm fasting. Sorry, you what? Say, mom, man. Your body's going to say, ach ja, man, just gaan have a lekker chai there. You can do it afterwards. Listen, I can now brief you, scribe, and I can take an honor. People are going to contact you this week to have dinner with them, meals with them. Come, let me just stick you to a chow. Let me stick you to a triple king's tier, double cheese, Max's deluxe, super duper Dagwood special triple face feast. Buy one, get two free. Listen, Leicester, I know how the devil works. What do you do, sir? Hey, thanks so much. Can I just take a rain check? But I'm not able to make it this week. Jy hoef nie vir mense te laat weet, jy is op hierdie super spiritual fasting storiekie. Okay. So what do you do when you get hungry, Moz? Pray. When you feel, you know, when you like, when you're hungry, pray. What do you pray for? Well, the scripture says we do not know what to pray for. That's why I encourage you to pray in tongues. When you don't know what to pray for, pray in tongues. Because if you pray in truth, I can take less than 3 minutes. I'll pray for my family. I pray for the church. I pray for the lost. Pray for the government. Pray for the things that I want. And then I start getting to vain repetitions. Okay? So that's what you do when you're hungry. Pray. And use the time that you'd normally spend eating to pray about each of the topics that we discussed. The time that you'd normally spend eating. So if you have a set time for eating, and I don't mean from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep. If you have a set time for a specific meal, when the Oaks have a lunch break or whatever, work or whatever, you just go and do your thing, find a quiet place, and just seek the Lord. Quote those scriptures. Read those scriptures aloud to yourself and pray specifically for those things, okay? The word breakfast comes from the concept of breaking fast because you would have eaten the last time the night before, and in the morning you break fast. You have breakfast. So that's where we get the word breakfast from. Okay. Use wisdom when breaking your fast. Okay? It's probably not going to be the most healthiest thing for your body if you have a kilogram fillet steak after you've been abstaining from food for several days. You're going to clog your system up. You know when you sit before a Windows and you have that thing, dong, like that blue screen of death? Dong, that's going to happen on the inside here. Years ago, in lack of wisdom, I broke fast with Provitas. And salmon on Provitas, and I think I didn't even have ever on it. I had Provitas and salmon. The Provitas and the salmon explained themselves to me when I needed to go and get rid of a stumbling block or settle a debt. I had some pressing matters to attend to. I'm just going to leave it there and cause it's on snow in the kerkie so, Mozzy. So use wisdom when you break your fast. Well, you say, how do you do that? Well, gradually break your fast. For example, with diluted and blended fruit and vegetable juices. Fruit for the flavor, vegetable juices for the carbs and the proteins, etc. And just you can mix and match a bit of this and a bit of that. Please don't go and get this Yanni Fayar cool drink with 5% fruit juice and the rest is benzoic acid, potassium sorbate, and all sorts of other things that you can't pronounce. That's not good for your health. It's not good for you, people. Don't do that stuff. Okay, so Yanni Fayar cool drink is not a good way to break a fast. Or your favorite gassy cold drink is not a good way to break a fast. Okay? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Treat it with the honor and respect that it deserves. Okay, one of you are in agreement with me on that. So break your fast gradually. And so what are some of the practical things that you're gonna go through? Okay, generally, this is not a hard and fast rule. After the third day of not eating anything at all, you lose your appetite for food. Yes, net nie meer honger nie. Because your body now realizes, okay, this he or she is on a mission, and it's going to start breaking down visceral fat. You get subcutaneous fat, which is the fat under your skin, and then you get your visceral fat, which is the most dangerous. That's the fat that's hidden between your organs, etc., in excess. That's really, really difficult to combat. That is brought into check by having a disciplined lifestyle in terms of what you eat. Okay, so you... So you in general you lose your appetite for food over at approximately day 3. The most difficult part of fasting, church, is breaking your fast, because when you know, okay, now the fast is over, now I can eat. To exercise self-control, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I mean that in all sincerity. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The most difficult part of a fast is breaking your fast. People say, oh, you know, we were out having a cruise on our boat or whatever, and the motor ran out of fuel or whatever, and then we were drifting on the water out there like 3 days, and in 3 days I nearly died of starvation. Well, it's impossible. Nobody will die of starvation after 3 days. After 3 days, the body will start being damaged without water after 3 days. The body can comfortably and very, very healthily get by without food for 40 days. You let reg hoor? 40 days without food. We can't get by without water for more than 48 hours. Day 3, we start getting problems in our body. Some of the things that you see, you can't die of starvation in 3 days, okay? It's a myth. It's nonsense, all right? Documented cases of people experiencing supernatural fasts like Moses and Jesus without food or water, that's like supernatural fasts. So when you fast, I'd encourage you to, if you want to do it strictly, the way they did it in the Bible is abstinence from food. And in that time, pray and fast. If you find it too difficult, then do a partial fast where you abstain from certain foods. Okay, some of the things that you could experience when you fast is like symptoms like aches and pains, an increase in acne, headaches, nauseousness, lack of concentration, being extra tired, etc. You're not busy dying. You're not busy dying and you're not getting sick. All that's happening is you're busy detoxing and your body is starting to let you know what you've been doing to your body. Okay, you might find a funny taste in your mouth as you're busy detoxing. As all those, one example and I'll move on, because I'm very, very passionate about this and I'm not an expert about this, but I've learned a thing or two and experienced a thing or two. For example, any guesses as to how long a piece of meat stays in your gut? 100 hours. Because your body doesn't know what to do with it. 100 hours in a nice little dark, wet pocket in your intestine. It word daar ingedrukt terwijl die ander goed deeltijd voorbij komt, because it is nergens elders om heen te gaan. So when your body starts detoxing, get rid of this, you're going to notice a change in your urine, notice a change in your taste, in your mouth, etc. You're not busy dying. Okay, your body is just busy detoxing. You will come through it on the other side. All right. And I say this, ask the Lord for guidance and wisdom regarding which meals and how many meals to skip and what portions of your food to cut out during your time of fasting. Ultimately, the primary reason for this fast must be restored intimacy and fellowship with God. Are we okay with it this morning, church? Ek is klaar gepreek. May we have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God in this week. I pray that God strengthens each and every single one of you during your fast, That God gives you His wisdom. I pray that you have a restored intimacy and a connection with God. And if you stumble after abstaining from food and you do eat something, when the devil comes to accuse you, I tell you to tell him in the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I pray that God has an intimate time with you and that you hear from the Lord. I pray that God gives you direction and clarity for the challenges that you face. I pray that God will give you revelation of those scriptures and understand how we can practically apply it to our lives. I pray for physiological benefits for your body, that your body detoxes well and that you experience the joy of feeling good as you fast. In the name of Jesus, I speak this over every one of us in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I just sense the Lord laid this on my heart this morning. If you need to leave now this morning, you're more than welcome to go. Niemand gaan jou snaaks aankyk nie as jy moet ry of iets. But I just want to ask, is there anybody that has a practical question that you'd like to ask in this context? I'll come to you quickly. I'll get a mic. Perhaps it's a question that other people ask. Is there any practical question that you have concerning fasting that you'd like to know from us this morning that we can answer for you? Anybody with a question? Yes, come on, sir. No problem.
Yes, I just want to ask, when fasting, you get a little bit weak, I think. And for us guys that has a physical hard work and so on, in that case and so on, because I think resting and eating your lunch or so on gets you through the day.
Yeah.
In that case, what happens?
Very, very good question. You're probably going to find that because what happens is the simplex carbs in your body starts getting depleted quickly, which gives you that instantaneous hit of energy, stuff like maltodextrin and fructose, which gives you that energy. What do? You're going to feel weak. But it's a case of, if you're doing it for the first time, you're probably not going to get it right this time, but it's a case of getting used to pushing through that, because what happens is your body will then get to the place where it starts using stored energy that's in your body. You'll feel pop, 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 like you can't net ni meer ni, but you'll get to a point where you'll get past that and your body will start using stored energy that's elsewhere in your body. So you probably will feel feelings of weakness like this, but you can't deal with it. And if you can't, then I will say just, don't break your fasting, but if you really, really, really feel that you can't because you're totally, totally new to it, then you can just have something that will give you like quick, healthy energy, like stuff like McNabb's energy tablets or the gels. I like McNabb's because there's no artificial nasties in there. It's just good stuff. Any of these gels that endurance athletes use, you can cup one of those. But I encourage you, if you're doing it for the first time, the only way you're going to get used to that is to push through that. Thank you for that question, sir. Good question. Anybody, another question? A question, eh?
I have fasted before, but I'm just standing for the new beginners. What about, Mozzie, if for them that haven't done it before? Can they have say they decide on three, well, they try and push it through the first day, but they see they can only hold out, say, 3 or 4 hours, and they keep it going right through. Is that all right with them?
Absolutely. When you got born again, you've done everything right all the time first time, right? No. Exactly the same with this. Try, for example, skip a meal. If you feel okay with that, then the next one. And then try for one day, just water. And if you can't, if you really feel no, then break your fast and give God thanks and praise and ask God to give you the strength again. And if you want to pick it up later in the week, by all means, please, folks, this is not a heaven or hell thing. And it mustn't be, oh, I broke a fast and I'm this and that. No, it's about learning and growing together. But the only way to do it, somebody said this years ago, just leave. Lead a fasted lifestyle where it's something that you do regularly. It's something that you do regularly. And you'll learn as you go along, as you do it more and more. Okay, any other questions? Yes, that's all. Thank you for the questions, guys. It helps because other people are probably sitting with the same questions.
Okay, you said we can drink a lot of water, but won't that flush our systems? But what can we do for the isotopes and to keep our levels?
Very, very good question. Yes, you're most definitely going to flush your system, but I can assure you this. You don't need to subsidize it with electrolyte replacement, etc., 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 because you're abstaining from food, your body will be, I won't say overwhelmed, but very, 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 very busy with detoxing to the point that you won't have to worry about supplementing electrolytes, isotopes, etc., 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 because of what your body is busy doing in terms of detoxing. Okay, so you don't have to supplement it with an isotonic drink, etc., etc. Okay, just water is just good.
Hi. So daar is baie mense wat op medikasie is wat moet eet.
Yes.
Kan 'n mens voorstel dat hulle die Daniel vas of die neute vas doen?
Okay. Medical doctors who have been told what to learn as their syllabus has been compiled by the pharmaceutical industry, and I say that respectfully, will tell you that you cannot not have food during this time for your medication. I'm going to submit this to you. Do you think God would teach you to do something that's going to be harmful to your body? You need to exercise wisdom and decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to abstain from this food during this time or not? So I can't, as a layman, say, no matter what medication you're on, just stop eating food altogether, continue cupping those pillikies and stuff like that, and trust God to get you through. If God says to you to do that, do that. Okay, in John 2 and verse 5, the scripture says, whatever he tells you to do, do. I'd encourage you, guys, the human body, God created the human body in such a way that it's designed to heal itself. There is not a disease known to man or unknown that if given the chance, the human body cannot cure. The scripture says that the life is in the blood. Give an example. Every 7 days, the lining of your stomach, completely new. Every 7 years, your skin, which is the largest organ, new. Every 11 years, your skeleton, new. All the time, new. When your body's given a chance, the blood can heal any and every so-called incurable disease in the body, period. That's what the scripture says, and that's what's been proven by people who lead lifestyles like this. So, as a pastor, I would say to you, trust God and see. Amen. Trust God and see. Another question.
Does it make you less of a Christian if you've never fasted or don't feel the need to fast?
What determines whether you're a Christian or not? The things that you do or the condition of your heart? There's Shirley's answer. There's no groot Christian, lesser Christian. I can tell you this much. You are, and I'm not trying to, I want to encourage you and spur you on to deeper things of God. You surely missing out on a lot if you've never fasted or don't fast as a rule. Jesus did it. His disciples did it. The scriptures teach us to do it. So you are missing out on stuff. But it doesn't make you a lesser Christian. Let's just say this. You're experiencing less of the things of God than you could be. Is that fair to say that? That's a balanced statement. Correct. Questions? Any other questions, folks? Okay, I want to encourage you. It's an exciting journey. And please don't forget that the enemy is going to come and try and distract you and put you off and stuff like that. But please, the last thing I want anybody to do is to feel guilty or condemned because you couldn't make it through day one. That's fine if you've never done it before. But keep at it. Keep at it, and you're going to see. You're going to see. And you get to a point where when you have water, it's going to feel like it fills you. It actually fills you, okay. And then keep it as yourselves. What you do in secret, God will reward you openly with. Bless you, folks. Thank you for asking questions. We love and appreciate you all. Godspeed. God keep you strong during the fast. And we'll see each other Sunday. Sunday after the service, we're going to have a huge, huge, huge spit briar for everybody. I'm just kidding. Personally, I'm going to have my last meal this evening. And I give you my word. I won't make promises because I can break a promise. But I give you my word, and I will not go back on my word. I'm going to stand in the gap and pray for all of us in this week. that lays here. Love and appreciate you all. Bless you guys. Thank you. Cheers.